Thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online. If you're watching online, welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. If it's your first time tuning in, my name is Wade, and we're glad that you're watching. Please be remembering all the people that's had surgeries and stuff this week. We got a lot of people at home recovering, and a lot of people at home that are sick. I just pray that you'd remember them in your prayers, and just be praying that God will comfort them and help them to heal and get over their surgeries quickly. But let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into tonight's message. We're getting started just a little bit late. Father, I just thank you for the message you laid on my heart this week. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help me to be able to present it. And Lord, I just pray that you would open every heart and every mind to receive what you have to say to us, God. And Lord, as always, I just pray that you'll help us to be obedient to your word and apply it to our lives so that we can bear the fruit that you want us to bear, God. And Lord, I do lift up all the people that are at home recovering from surgeries. I know they're in a lot of pain and that their lives are just disrupted right now. I pray that you'd comfort them right where they are and help them, Lord, with the pain that they're in. And I just pray that you'll help them to find some comfort, Lord. I pray that you'll help them to heal quickly so they can get back to their lives. Lord, we just ask that you would bless this message, and we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, if you were here last week, we mostly talked about our inheritance that we have in store for us through our faith in Christ. And the inheritance that we have in him is eternal life with him. You know, our main verses last week, we got out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." What that means is, if our faith is in Christ, and the same spirit that raised him from the dead is also going to resurrect us, you know, from the dead lives that we now live, or if we die before Jesus comes back, then we'll be resurrected from the dead to eternal life when he does come back, and to an inheritance that is uncorruptible. You know, we talked last week about how it's undefiled and it'll never be defiled. Things here on earth, you know, they wear out, they get old, and no matter what it is, it just wears out. Things of the earth don't last, but it never gets old. It never fades and it never ends. And it's reserved in heaven for us. And we talked about how sometimes it's hard to remember that we have an inheritance like that. Life here is really hard. And if we focus on life here and all the hard things that we have to go through, it's hard to see that a better day is coming. You know, it's hard to remember that we have that inheritance to look forward to. So we have to just stay strong in our faith and, you know, just trust Jesus that one day things are going to get better. And the enemy knows about our inheritance, and he don't want us to have it. You know, what does it say? I'm sure most of you are familiar with John 10:10. You know, all Satan wants to do, he wants to steal from us the inheritance that God has from us. And he wants to kill us. He don't want us to have eternal life. So he just wants to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us, to destroy our faith in Christ and steal our inheritance. But in that same verse, you know, Jesus says, "I've came that you could have life more abundantly. You could have eternal life through me." And we talked about last week, too, that the only real legacy that we can leave our children or our loved ones is our faith in Christ. You know, we talked about how you can leave them a big bank account. You can leave them houses and land and all that stuff. But for something that really lasts, I mean, that's good. You can leave them things like that that they can enjoy while they're here. But the only thing that truly lasts is our faith in Christ and the inheritance that we have through him. And we talked about leaving a legacy that will lead them into their own faith in Christ through the way that we live and the example that we are in front of them. I was telling you at the end of last week's message, I was talking about my papaw, and I got pretty choked up about that because, you know, I really love my papaw. He was one of the best people I've ever met, and he'd been gone for, I can't remember how many years, but it's been a lot of years. But people still talk about him, and they still talk about what a good man he was, and he really was a good man. You know, I told you last week, even if he thought that you thought he had done something wrong to you, even if he hadn't, he would go make it right, whether he did or he didn't. You know, he thought that much of people. He went the extra mile to be good to people and to protect his good name and the name of his family. And, you know, I talked about how that passed on to his children. You know, they all wound up being the same way because of the example that he gave them. And I told you about, you know, the bad example that I set for my daughter. You know, how she started down the same road that I had went down. But once I gave my life to Christ, she turned her life around. And we talked about, you know, how we all have a following. You know, whether we realize it or not, we have a name. And our name carries weight. And I told you last week, that's what we were going to talk about tonight, is our names. And just like we have a following, and people follow us, whether we realize it or not, we also are following others, whether we realize it or not. So who we keep company with, and, you know, we need to be careful about that. We need to be careful about the way we act in front of other people because we're an example to them, and we need to be careful about who we hang around because whether we realize it or not, they're an example to us. And what we're around the most, we tend to become more like it. And there's lots of verses about that through the Bible. But I've chose a few of those. So tonight, that's what I want to talk about, is about our name and what that means. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 is going to be one of our main verses tonight. And it talks about a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver on gold. You know, here on earth, when we think of a good name, or most of us anyway, the way the world sees things, is something that we make for ourselves. You know, we talk about people's list of achievements. This month they've been talking about war heroes on one of the channels I watch at home. Or, you know, you hear it all the time. People talk about the top 10 richest people in the world. They've made a name for themselves because they've got all that money. Or, you know, people make a name for themselves through fame. You know, Hollywood rolls out red carpet and they hold these big celebrations for people who don't really do anything but to pretend to be somebody or something that they're not. You know, so we put a lot of value in names that don't really carry any weight with God. You know, I told you last week that you could have a pile of money this big when you stand before God, and that's not gonna impress him. That's not a good name in his eyes. So it says a good name should be chosen over those riches and loving favor. You know, having people care about you and love you and you loving other people, that should be worth more to us, that verse says, than silver and gold. So what is a good name? You know, you could be the most famous person on earth, like we talked about the people in Hollywood, and have all these people praising you and rolling out that red carpet for you. And, you know, when you think about it, that's really exactly what Satan wanted. He wanted everybody to worship him. He wanted to be worshiped like a god. He wanted to be God. So that don't impress God either. So what is a good name? You know, I think Pastor Josh says it good all the time, and I really like what he says. You know, he says a good name is his. You know, if I want a good name, my name could be his. I belong to Christ. That could be my name, and that is a good name. My name is I belong to God, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I belong to him. I don't know if you've all heard it or not, but I'm sure most of you heard about the story of the Tower of Babel. If you haven't, you know, you can go read that. That's in Genesis chapter 11. I think it's verses 1 through 9, talks about the Tower of Babel. But I want to focus on just verse 4 out of Genesis chapter 11. And it says, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So they were doing the same thing that people are doing today, you know, striving to make a name for themselves and building and stepping on people to get there just so I can be number one. You know, they had no intentions of getting to God. They just wanted to make a name for themselves and build fame and fortune for themselves without God. And the Bible says, if you read on through those verses I gave you a minute ago, that God came down and he confounded their language so they couldn't understand each other, and they stopped building that building in that city. And they got scattered all over the earth. You know, they were trying to make a name for themselves without God. And if we're not careful, if we don't have a godly mindset in this world, we get caught up in a worldly mindset, and we do the exact same thing in trying to make a name for ourselves. We do it the world's way, which leads us completely away from God, and we ruin the name that we do have. And that's exactly what people are still doing today. You know, we talked about that a little bit last week. You know, people just want to be self-sufficient. You know, I did this. I'm a self-made man. You know, I don't need you. I don't need anybody else. I don't need God. I did all this myself. And like I said a minute ago, that's the same attitude that Satan had. And when we do that, you're pretty much saying, I am my own God. And, you know, a life like that just leads us in the wrong direction, further away from God. But if we read on a little further and go over to chapter 12 of Genesis, and this is God talking to Abram. This is before he became Abraham. In verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." And if we read on through verse 3, it says, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." "And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So when he came to Abram, he told him, you know, get out of your father's house, or quit following the customs of this world. Quit following, you know, all the customs that you were brought up with. And follow me, and I'll make a name for you. And here's the reason, you know, we just read it. "And you will be a blessing." That's what it says there in verse 3. It says, "In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." If we want to make a name for ourselves, we got to get out of our old life. We got to get out of our old mindsets and get into our new life in Christ. If we go back to 1 Peter, I think we covered these last week, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 18, he says, "You know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." So he's saying you're not redeemed by all that money or your fame or your family traditions. You know, like, this is how we've always done it, or look out for number one. All those things can be just selfish. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with money or family traditions, but when we put those things above God, then they do become selfish. And he's reminding us that those things can't save you. Only Christ can save you. And the enemy deceives us into thinking if we want anything, all we got to do is just look out for ourselves and build up our own selves and take what we need. You know, no matter what destruction we're causing, no matter how much destruction it leaves behind, as long as I get what I want. And you'd be amazed at how many people have that mindset. You know, I used to have that mindset before Christ. I think a lot of us did. And that's why marriages don't last. As soon as it gets inconvenient and I have to start doing things that I don't want to do, then marriages today are just disposable. As soon as I'm not happy, I'll just move on. And you don't really care what happens to the other person when you're gone. That's why we see so many children that don't have parents. You know, the foster children, you know, the houses are full. They don't have any more room. You know, Howard and Sandy, they keep their house full of foster children. And that's all because people want what they want when they want it. And they don't care who they hurt to get those things. That's why the jails and the rehabs are full of people who got there just trying to please themselves. But if we read the next verse in 1 Peter, it comes right after that. You know, it said in 18 that we're not redeemed with money. We're not redeemed with gold and silver. But verse 19 says we are redeemed, we're saved with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's why it said back in Genesis 12 and verse 3, we are saved to be a blessing. You know, it's our duty as the church. And that's all the way back to Abraham. It's our duty. It says God blesses us so all the families of the earth can be blessed. It's our duty to help those people in the jails and the rehabs and the single mom that, you know, can't afford to pay their bills. You know, God don't save us to judge other people or just to satisfy ourselves. He saves us so we can help other people and lead them into a relationship with Jesus so he can change their lives too, just like he changed our lives. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we're called to be a blessing. You know, we're not supposed to be the world's fault finders. We're supposed to be the ones that help fix those things. We help people up instead of pointing out what's wrong with them. We help people out instead of just, you know, doing everything to please ourselves and don't really care if anybody's going through problems. It's our duty to show people that God loves them. So if we want to make a name for ourselves in God's eyes and not the world's eyes, we need to love others just like Jesus loved us and didn't condemn us, but let us out of our darkness into light. You know, God gives us the power to do that. And I just think that's an awesome thing that God gives us the power to do that. And I try not to take that for granted because, I mean, I can't think of anything more powerful than that, to be able to save somebody from death and, you know, be able to bring them to life through Jesus Christ. I like the way John puts it in his gospel in chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, as many as received him, as many as received Jesus Christ and are saved, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. I like that. You know, I tell you all the time that the Bible says that we're transformed into the image of Jesus. You know, that's our goal when we follow him, or that's God's goal, is that we'll be conformed to the image of his dear son, it says. In this verse in John, it says when we receive him, he gives us the power to be sons and daughters of God. And we can do for others, you know, what Jesus did for us. We can lead them to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, just like he did for us. You know, that's an awesome amount of power that God places in our hands. And I think the most amazing part about it is how little people use it, you know. We think we're being unselfish when we come to Christ and we get our own salvation. But then we slip back into our selfishness again. Instead of, you know, I need to share this with somebody else that's still in darkness. A lot of us, we just get comfortable knowing I'm okay, I've got my salvation, I'm safe, I'm not going to hell anymore. And we leave it right there. But that's not, you know, that's not what God intended for us to do. He intended once we got saved to turn around and tell somebody else, hey, look what Jesus did for me. He'll do the same thing for you. You know, that's what the gospel is. We're supposed to spread it throughout the whole world, Jesus said. And not just the gospel. You know, you'll find that in 12-step programs of people that are trying to get off of drugs or alcohol or any of that stuff. The 12-step says, you know, having had these spiritual awakenings, these things happen to me in my own life, we turn around and help other people and give them hope and lead them to freedom too. That's God's plan for us as Christ followers. You know, I looked up the word name in Strong's Concordance, and there was like 900 and something different references to it. And I love doing that. I always like looking up the original word for names of any word in the Bible. But the word for name, the original Hebrew word, is pronounced shame. So the word name in Hebrew actually means shame. So when we're born and we get our earthly name, our name actually means shame. I mean, it's spelled Shem. I mean, you may have heard of Noah's three sons. He had three. He said he had Ham and Shem and Japheth. So when he named Shem, he pretty much named him name. And I always thought that was funny because, I mean, why would you name your kid name? He must have just got tired of picking out names. But it's spelled S-H-E-M, but the pronunciation of it is Shame. And I just think that's weird you'd name your kid name. But back to the point, when we're born, that's what our name means, is shame. But that reminded me of how, you know, we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, it says in Ephesians and other places that until we come to Christ, we're still dead in our trespasses and sins until we surrender our lives to Christ. And then our spirits, it says, are quickened by the Holy Spirit and we're brought to life in Christ. You know, we've been reading the last couple of weeks too in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. So when we do come to Christ, you know, we're no longer dead. Our spirits aren't dead anymore. We come to life. We're quickened. And not only are we quickened and we come alive, you know, our name don't mean shame anymore. If we've truly surrendered our life to Christ, we get new names. You know, now I am a Christian. Nobody used to call me Brother Wade, or nobody used to call him Brother Dale. You know, we get new names. We get new identities in Christ. So when we're born again, we're born with our name here. We're born in shame, dead through trespassing and sins. But when we're born again, we get our new names. You know, we're adopted like we read earlier in John. And we become the sons and the daughters of God. Paul talks about that adoption in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. So when we're saved, he says, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you keep reading on, it says not only children, but we're heirs. We're heirs of God. We get the same inheritance that Jesus Christ has. And I just think that's awesome. We receive the Holy Spirit. We're grafted into the vine, as Jesus puts it in other places. You know, we become part of the family of God. We have a new identity. And, you know, when I kept on looking into that definition of name, you know, there's a lot of verbs and adverbs and adjectives that go along with it. And one part of it actually means to come full circle and return to our original place of origin, or to return to the source that we came from. And I just thought that was pretty amazing. If you've been around the last few weeks, you've heard me talking about how God created our spirits before he ever created the world. He created our spirits before the foundation of the world, or before the world began. So when we give our lives to Christ, we actually return to our original place of origin, or we get back our original identity. We go back to the source that we came from. And I don't know, that's that's really neat to me when I think about it. You know, we're with God, then we're sent here, and we're born, and we have a choice while we're here. And I think that's just a beautiful thing that God gave us the chance to do that. We have the choice while we're here to choose life or death. And then once we choose life, we have the power to tell others, you've got a choice to make while you're here. You know, you can live for eternity, or you can be separated from God for eternity. And I just love the way that the Bible's perfect, and it brings everything back together. So when we are born here, we're born under the name of shame. But when we are born again, we go back to our original identity in Christ through the Holy Spirit as sons and daughters of God. And we don't try to build up our name anymore, or we shouldn't. We try to build up the name of Christ and the name, you know, the name of Jesus. And the Bible says we become the ambassadors that the Bible calls us. You know, I've shared these verses with you a bunch of times, but I want to read them again out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And here's the part I'm getting to. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing men their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. You know, since Christ has went home to be with the Father, we pray you for Christ, be reconciled to God. And I think it's important to remember those verses. And remember, God didn't save us just so that we can be blessed. He saved us so we could carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ, reconciling people to God, not imputing their sins to them, but telling them, letting them know that God loves you. You know, the world thinks God's against them, and he's for you. He's not against you. He's, you know, come back to God, like verse 20 says. You know, like we just read in Genesis 12 and verse 3, God told Abram, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you a great name. What he's saying is, I'm going to give you my name. People are going to call you a man of God. And through you, all the earth will be blessed, because you're going to tell them all the wonderful things that I can do for you and I can do for them. You're going to tell them about me and that I love them too. And, you know, that was thousands of years ago. But that mission has not changed. You know, that's our... That's our mission today, too. We call ourselves Christians. You know, he called himself a man of God, and that's what the Bible calls him. That's what it called Moses. That's what it called all those old people. But today we're called Christians, but the mission is still the same. And we read that in John chapter 3, 16, the most famous verse there ever was. You know, that's our mission, to tell everybody God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let people know God loves you. So the last thing I want to talk about tonight is protecting our name. And I think in protecting the name of Jesus and protecting our names as Christians, that we do spread the gospel. We do let people know that God loves them. Jesus didn't begin the church so that we could divide it up into 100 different denominations and argue with each other, you know, and have all these different belief systems that confuse people. Like Josh has been preaching on, you know, we need to know what we believe. And what we believe should be God's word. And that's what we should be proclaiming. You know, that's not what Jesus had in mind when he began the church. He didn't want us to be arguing and competing and fighting with one another. He began the church so we could tell people about God in one voice through one Holy Spirit, that God loved the world And he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, that's all he wanted us to preach. But men's doctrines have crept in and crept in and crept in until you rarely hear the gospel anymore. Because even in church, people want to make a name for themselves. This pastor wants to outdo that pastor, and this church wants to outdo that church. And that don't promote the name of Jesus Christ. That don't promote the name of God. That promotes men. And, you know, that's not what God had in mind. He began the church to save people from sin and death. You know, it's no longer our name we're protecting. It's his. So it can't be about me, whether it's in ministry or in church or in life in general. You know, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, the name that we should be lifting up is Jesus Christ. So it's no longer our name, if we're going to call ourselves a Christian, that we're protecting. It's his name. It's his reputation. I want to share this verse with you, and I think this is why quite a bit of people don't come to church anymore. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19, it says, a brother that's offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know, that verse says, a brother that's offended. That means probably at some time that they were in church and they were considered a brother at some point. But, you know, now they're offended. And because of that, they no longer go to church. And it says it's harder to get them back in, or harder to get them, you know, to have faith in a God that's going to let somebody do them like that, or have faith in being part of a church that's going to offend them. It says it's harder to win them back than it is a strong city. So we have to be careful about offending people if we're going to call ourselves by the name of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul says, give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Like I said, if we're calling ourselves Christians and we offend somebody, it's not us that they get offended at anymore. You know, remember, we got new names now. We have our names as Christians and sons and daughters of God, so it's not our reputation at stake anymore. You know, if I go out here and go off on somebody, they're probably not going to go somewhere and say, I can't believe what Wade did to me. They're going to say, I can't believe what those people at Grace did to me. Or I can't believe that those Christians treat people like this. You know, they're not going to get offended at a person anymore. They're going to get offended at God and the things of God. They're going to get offended at Jesus. And I can't let, you know, my opinions or my ideas, you know, they're not worth somebody's eternal life. And if we don't see it to be that important, then we'll go around offending people. We'll go around hurting people's feelings. And it really is that important. You know, what you say or do, that could very well determine whether somebody ever gives their life to Christ or not. And that goes both ways. We can offend people and keep them from coming to Christ, or we cannot be obedient to the Holy Spirit and share Christ. You know, maybe it's our duty to share Christ with that person, and we just don't do it. And maybe that was the opportunity that they had to come to Christ that they never got. And that when we do those things, when we offend people, or we're not obedient to the Holy Spirit and saying the things that God lays on our heart, you know, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God when we do that. It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. We actually talked about these verses last night. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, you know, that's my ideas. That's me. That's my opinions. He says, let all that stuff go. You know, that has no place in sharing the gospel with anybody. He says, let all those things be put away from you if you're going to be in Christ, with all malice. And in verse 32, it says, And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So we can't forget what Christ has done for us when we're dealing with other people and when we're going to call ourselves by his name. You know, when we just see the here and now, and when I just see how I feel in the moment, you know, God sees that person's eternity, or eternity in the balance. And if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I need to see that too. I need to take that into consideration, you know, when I'm dealing with people. The way I treat them really does matter. So we have to protect the name of Jesus and not let him be thought of as a condemning God or a judgmental God, because he's not. And, you know, the world already has that mindset that God's against them. God don't want me to have any fun. God don't want me to have this or that. And those things are just not true. But if we go out and treat people in a way like that and call ourselves Christians, then that's just going to enforce what they already believe. And it's even going to be even harder to get them to have faith in Christ. You know, the word Christian, it means Christ-like, or one who follows the teachings of Christ. So if we're going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to bear the name of Jesus, then what Paul's saying is we need to be like Christ. We need to love instead of judging people or hating people. We need to forgive instead of getting even with people. We've been talking about that for a couple of weeks too. Nothing good comes from getting even with somebody. All that does is create more evil. I know forgiving can be hard to do. Some things are impossible for us to forgive. You know, I've heard some things just in the last week that would be impossible without the Holy Spirit of God to forgive. I mean, there's just no way we can do that with just ourselves. And that's why we got to take those things to God and tell him, I can't forgive that. I don't know how to forgive that. I don't want to forgive that. Because there's a lot of things that happen to us that's how we feel about it. You know, I'm not going to forgive that. I can't forgive that, even if I did want to. And God knows that. You know, I've shared that verse with you before. God remembers that we're just dust. He knows our frame. But if we'll take those things to God, then he'll help us through a process that, you know, with him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and after some healing on our part, that you can begin to forgive. You know, there's things I've forgiven that's happened to me in my life that I never dreamed I would be able to forgive them. But through Christ, we can forgive. And we have to be obedient to Christ if we're going to bear his name. You know, Jesus himself said in Luke 6 and verse 46, he says, why are you going to call me Lord, Lord, and not do those things which I tell you to do? And he told that to his disciples. So they walked with him every day. And still, he was telling them, why are you calling me Lord if you're not going to be obedient to me? I told you at the end of last week's message that some of the main verses for this week would be in Proverbs chapter 25. And I wanted to save those verses until the end of the message for a reason. So I did. And these are hard hard verses to share with you, but I'm going to share them with you because I know God wants me to. And the reason I wanted to share them at the end of the message is because I want to leave you something to think about. I think it's something we all need to think about. I know it's definitely something that I need to think about. But in Proverbs 25, verses 9 and 10, can you look those up in the NLT, Travis? Instead of the King James, I meant to tell you that, and I forgot. It says, if you set a trap for others. No, that's the next one. But in Proverbs 25, verses 9 and 10, he's talking to us about gossip. And I think that that is just a huge problem. I think that's one of the most surefire ways to ruin our names. It says, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. And in verse 10, it says, others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. You know, that's pretty self-explanatory right there. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. But in Proverbs 26 and verse 27, it says, whoever digs a pit is going to fall in the pit themselves. And he that rolls a stone, you know, hoping to roll it down on somebody else, is going to return on you. So the quickest way to ruin your name and do damage to the name and the church of Jesus Christ is to gossip. You know, Proverbs is full of verses about the damage that gossip does. You know, whether it's true or whether it's a lie, you know, gossip's going to, in the end, it'll come back on you, and it will destroy your name, it'll destroy your reputation, and the reputation of the church you go to, and the God that you say you believe in. I know that sounds hard and extreme, but I've seen that in real time. Just in the last few years, I've saw it destroy lifelong friendships. I've saw it lead to divorce. I've saw it lead to people just giving up on their faith and walking away from God. The only thing gossip does is cause destruction and more destructions. That is the quickest way to get yourself labeled as untrustworthy, unreliable, as a hypocrite. You know, people will not want to have any faith in you at all. They won't want to tell you anything. You'll become one of those people when they see you walking up, the conversation just stops because they don't want you to hear what they're talking about, because they know what you're going to do. You're going to go around and talk and gossip and get all kinds of rumors started about it. And it don't just come back on you like it says there in Proverbs 26 and verse 27. That's going to come back on you. That's going to come back on your spouse and your children and your friends and your church. They'll all be labeled as well. They'll be guilty by association. So we have to be careful with our new names and protect them. And if somebody tells you something in confidence, keep it in confidence. You know, they trust you. That's why they told you that thing. You know, don't betray people. Be faithful just like Christ is faithful. You know, that's what a Christian means, to be Christ-like. So if somebody puts their faith in us and shares things with us, keep it in confidence and be trustworthy. You know, be honest, be faithful, be reliable. You know, if you hear things about somebody, don't repeat them. You know, don't add fuel to the fire. Pray for that person or go to them even better and see how you can help them. Don't go tell somebody else what you heard about them. Go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry to hear this. Is there any way I can help you with it? You know, in this world, we got enough enemies. We don't need to have enemies inside our church family. We need to be on the same team with the same goal, to love one another and get closer to God and let others know about God. After all, if we're all in Christ, then we all have the same name. We have the name of Jesus. So that means, you know, we should protect one another if we all have the same name. When I'm protecting you, I'm protecting myself. And when you're protecting me, you're protecting yourself. And all of us together, we are protecting the name of Jesus and being the examples that we should be for him. So we need to love one another and forgive one another. That's exactly what Jesus told his disciples. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, also love one another. And I think it's pretty important to God that we have enough reverence for his name to be careful how we bear it. You know, that's on the top 10 list. That's in the 10 commandments. You know, don't take the name of your Lord in vain. And when we go out here and we're doing things that don't line up with God's word, to me, that is taking God's name in vain. So if we're going to make a name for ourselves, let's make it where it really matters. Let's make it in the kingdom of God, not for this world. Let's get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where it's really going to matter when we're standing before God, is whether our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like I said, I know those are hard verses, but I think we all need to hear that, because I think to a certain degree we're all guilty of that. We forget about it sometimes. We get frustrated, we get angry, and sometimes it's hard to handle those situations in a godly way. But that's what God wants us to do. So I want to close with a couple of verses out of Revelation. We'll start with Revelation 2 and verse 17. I was telling you, if you want to make a name for yourself, get your name written down in heaven. And Jesus says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes. When I overcome the temptation to gossip or run my mouth about somebody else or act in a way that I shouldn't act, he says, him will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and then stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. So if we overcome all these things that this world throws at us, he's got a new name waiting for you. And if we go over to Revelation 3 and verse 5, that's where it talks about he'll put your name in the book of life. It says, he that overcomes, there's that word again, if we'll overcome the temptations this world has, that the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So, if we want to make a name for ourselves, let's make a name in heaven. Stand strong in our faith and, put some value on our names. Maybe you're struggling finding any value in yourself. God thought you were valuable enough to die for, So that's pretty valuable. So we need to value the name that God has given us as Christ followers. And we need to let his name be valuable to us too. It is valuable. And we're valuable to God, so he ought to be valuable to us. So we need to protect our names as Christians. And don't give in to the temptation of this world to gossip or be part of, just things that we know we shouldn't be a part of. In doing that, you'll not only protect your name, but you protect the names of everybody around you. Your family, your kids, your friends, everybody. What we do don't just affect us. And we protect the name of Jesus. So that was the message God put on my heart this week. And I really do hope that helps somebody. I know it got me to thinking and paying a little closer attention to the way I've been thinking and acting and handling situations in my own life. But like I try to tell you every week, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, maybe it's because you have been labeled by the world as unworthy. You're not. God says you're not. He'll give you a new name, and he'll wash you clean. He promises to do that, and you can start a new life. You're not labeled in God's eyes about the things in your past. I've got a bad past too. But God says come to him, and he will forgive you, and he'll clean you up and give you a new beginning. You can start a new life in him. You're never too bad. I don't care how bad your past is. Romans 5:8 says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He don't say get cleaned up. When you're worthy, then you can come to church. He says, come to church, surrender to me, and I will make you worthy through your faith in Christ. And if you've never done that, I'd like to give you the opportunity to do that. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it tells you how to do that. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And in verse 10, it says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you've made that decision, if you're watching online, or if you've made that decision here, you know, the Bible says confess that with your mouth unto salvation. If you'll confess that to another person, you'll make it public knowledge. I've gave my life to Christ. Now I belong to Jesus. The Bible says you are saved, and you can believe that. And like I try to tell you every week too, nobody is too bad. Verse 13 of the same chapter says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it don't matter who you are. If you want to give your life to Christ, that invitation, you know, like we've been reading in John 3:16, goes out to the whole world. That's why Christ died, because God loved us all. But I hope that message helps somebody. And if you did give your life to Christ today, if you made that decision, you need to get with somebody and talk to them about it, and they'll show you how to start your new life in Christ. Maybe you don't know what the next step is. They'll be able to help you and lead you in that right direction. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you for helping me to get up here and preach your word tonight. I thank you for that message, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all to put the value that we should have on your name, and to put the value on ourselves that you put on us, Lord, as Christ followers. And help us, Lord, to not be prideful, but to proudly carry your name and to act in a way that glorifies you, Lord, and don't bring shame on you or your church. I pray that you'd give us the power to do those things, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'd help each of us, Lord, every day to walk closely with you so that we can walk in the Spirit and not follow our flesh, Lord, so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit and show others that God is love and he does love them, and lead them into a relationship with you too. God, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.